read about in your word. And we're thankful for every word that proceeds out of your mouth, our Father. And as we go through this study, we ask that you would be with us and give us those things that you have for us that would bless our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. All right, let's begin this morning in John chapter 15. We're in the section concerning being a disciple, where we see that a disciple, as a disciple of Jesus, that we are to bear much fruit. John, we'll just quickly review a couple of verses before we move on here. But in John chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." So we see that this is a characteristic of being a disciple, and we've been studying about what it means to bear fruit and the different things that the Lord wants us to be doing for Him. In Matthew chapter 12, we read this in verses 33 to 35. We see where Jesus taught that a tree is known by its fruit. There in verse 35, He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." Of course, we know that as a disciple of Christ, a lot of what we're aiming to do is to have our minds and our hearts transformed to be like that of Jesus. And so as our hearts become purified and filled with those parts of God's divine nature that He wants in us, we should be seeing that having its effect in terms of the things that are brought forth from the heart. We've studied about how our words come forth from the heart, our thoughts, our actions, all of these things start in the heart. And so when we have those qualities of God in our hearts, then we should be seeing the fruits of that. And so, as it says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. We also saw in Titus chapter 2, in verses 11 through 14 there, where he tells us the kinds of lives that we need to be living as Christians. Verse 14, he reminds us why Jesus gave himself for us. He says there, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And so in one of our previous lessons, we talked about how peculiar that is for to find those in this world that are actually zealous of doing God's good works. There are many people out there that are zealous about a lot of different things. Some of them claim to be zealous about doing good, but when we actually look at what they're doing, we see usually that it doesn't actually fit with what God's definition of good is. And so there are lots of viewpoints out there of what is good, and we need to make sure that we always go back to the Scriptures to understand what the Lord considers to be good. And then in Luke chapter 3, in verse 8, we read this passage where we saw John the Baptist teaching baptism for repentance, and the Pharisees coming to his baptism, and how he told them they needed to bring forth the right kinds of fruit that were worthy of that repentance. There in verse 8, he says, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So that new mind that we're to have as Christians, that mind that says, "I'm here to do His will and to serve Him," well, along with that mind, then there needs to be the actions that follow, right? We can all decide we want to do certain things, right? The common example I often cite there is, well, we can all decide that we need to lose weight and go on a diet, right? And probably many of us in here have done that. But we know that it's one thing to decide to do that, and it's another thing to carry that out and to actually do the things that are necessary to make that happen, and that requires a lot of things. Well, here in Luke 3, as John is preaching, well, yes, it's one thing to say that we're repenting. It's one thing to say, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. But it's another thing to bring forth those fruits that really show that we've done so. And so, as we know, there are many times that Jesus pointed out what hypocrites the scribes and the Pharisees were, and how that outwardly they appeared righteous to men, but inwardly he said many things about them, but they were full of dead men's bones. They were full of evil. And so here were these ones that had come to this baptism, and so he's pointing out, you need to bring forth fruits that are worthy of that new mind, that repentance that you claim here. And so this morning then, we want to continue on with the study of these fruits that the Lord wants us to be bearing. We want to spend a little time talking about some of the different kinds of things that the Lord mentions that are fruits. Maybe we don't necessarily think of these as fruits, but we find a lot of scriptures that tell us so. And one of those things has to do with the fruit of our lips. We'll see that our mouths have a lot to do with the work of the Lord and doing what's needed here. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And Brother Frank, could you read Hebrews 13 and verse 15? That's right.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name.
So we see one of the things that the Lord describes as being a fruit is what comes forth from our mouths. And here he talks about some things that we as his people need to be doing, as he says here, continually. He says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And he kind of defines that for us there at the second part of that verse. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So the Lord does consider that to be a fruit. The things that we say, the things that come forth from our lips. And we need to understand that that is one of the types of fruits that we need to be bearing. And it's a very important one. As we've read many times, and we'll read it again, in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Aaron, could you read that for us, please? So that is one of the key things that come forth from the heart is our words. And what does that show? When we find ourselves giving thanks to God, giving thanks to him continually for the things that we're blessed with, what does that show in our hearts when we find ourselves doing that and when we hear others doing that? Got some questions this morning to ponder and answer, hopefully. What does that show about the heart when we're saying those kinds of things? I know there's some folks out there that have some thoughts on that. Okay, so that's probably the thing that comes to my mind first as well, is it shows a great humility, right? When we, and especially if we're doing it the way he says here, where he says we need to be doing it continually, what does that indicate? It indicates that we're constantly reminding ourselves of who we are compared to who God is, and that we're putting ourselves in our appropriate places, and we're remembering we owe everything to him, and that we're giving thanks for these blessings that He's provided. So humility certainly is a very important quality in our hearts that will cause us to bring forth that praise to God and the giving of thanks to Him. Anybody else have any other comments? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is one of the things that should help remind us to give that thanks. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Samuel? 1 Corinthians 4, 7. All right, so he asks the question here, what do you have that you did not receive? We need to be asking ourselves that question all the time, and if we do, it'll help us to do what we just read in the previous verse, which is to give thanks to the name of God. We should realize that we've received everything that we have. We're nothing without the Lord, and you know, it is a common temptation for everybody to become proud of some ability that they have. But, you know, we all need to consider, well, where did that ability come from to do this or that? And instead of being proud about it, we need to have, going back to the earlier comment about having humility, we need to have that humility to realize, well, no, I didn't make myself. And I didn't give myself this ability to do this or to do that. I'm using these abilities that were given to me, and we should be giving thanks for that. And later in our lesson this morning, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about how the Lord wants us to all be using our abilities for Him, to serve Him. But we need to be thankful for that ability that He's given to us. Let's turn to Jeremiah 33. We'll see another example here of where they were bringing this sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Let's see, David Broody, can you read Jeremiah 33, verses 10 and 11? Jeremiah 33, 10 and 11. So the Israelites here have been carried away captive for 70 years. The Lord is getting ready to bring them back. And notice the picture that he's expecting as the people come back. There in verse 11, or verse 10, he talks about how things have, during that captivity, how things have been desolate and quiet. But there in verse 11, when his people return, notice the picture there. And that picture really shouldn't be any different for us today as God's people in terms of the kinds of things that we're thinking about and the kinds of things that we're doing today. It really shouldn't be different. Here he says that we'll hear the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. And what are they all talking about in this joy that they're involved with here? Well, they're talking about praising the Lord of hosts, for He is good. And they're talking about his mercy that endures forever. And that they're bringing the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And so we need to, again, be bringing that sacrifice of praise to the Lord. This needs to be something that we're doing and talking about on a regular basis and being thankful to the Lord for what he has given to us and how he sustains us. Romans chapter 14 is another reminder of our dependency on him for everything. Romans 14, Brother Michael, could you read verses 6 through 8 for us, please? So we need to be considerate that the Lord has made us, he's put us here on this earth, and that we're not here off by ourselves, okay? And that we're not doing the things that we do, it's not off in isolation, right? We need to be doing everything that we do with regard to the Lord. Whether we eat, whether we don't eat, we need to do it for the purpose of serving him. Whether we regard a day in a certain way or not, it needs to be for him. Verse 7, none of us lives to himself. We need to remind ourselves of that, that we're not living to ourselves. We're living for the Lord. And as it says in verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. We are the Lord's, and we need to be thankful for everything that he provides for us, and we need to be reliant on him for our needs, and we need to be looking to him. And so the fruit of our lips is very important in the Lord's eyes, whether it's giving of thanks, whether it's acknowledging him and requesting from him the things that we need. All of that shows the Lord that we understand that we are his and that we're acknowledging him. As it tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We need to acknowledge him in everything that we do, and he will see that. Proverbs has a lot to say about the different things that we do and say with our mouths. Proverbs chapter 12, let's read verse 14 here. Trey, can you read that for us? All right, so once again, we see how the Lord talks about the fruit of our mouths and how here in verse 14, it says a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So there is a lot of good that can come about as a result of the things that come out of our mouths. And what are those kinds of things that should be coming out of our mouths? Well, let's look in Psalm 37. Lots and lots of places in Psalms and Proverbs that talk about the different things that should be coming forth out of our mouths. These are really just a few select places that I've collected. Proverbs 37, verse 30, Peter.
The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment.
So here's some things that ought to be describing the kind of fruit that come forth from our lips. He says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. We should be considering the kinds of things that we talk about. Are these wise things or are they foolish things? Judgment. You know, that's a tricky area, right? Judgment. There's a lot of things that we have to make judgment about. And, of course, that judgment all needs to be based on the Word of God. But putting together all of the things that are necessary to be considered in having good judgment on something is not necessarily an easy task. And so if we're wise here, then we're going to be speaking wisdom. We're going to be talking of judgment in the matters and how God would want us to judge. These are the kinds of things that should be coming out of our mouths, the fruit of our mouths. Proverbs 16, let's read verses 23 and 24 there. Proverbs 16, 23 and 24. Stephen?
The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds words to his lips. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones.
So here's some other things that we should be thinking about with regards to what comes out of our mouths. He says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Now, notice he doesn't say, in this passage, he doesn't say teaches with his mouth. We find other passages that tell us that we need to teach with our mouths. But here, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. We're seeking to understand how can we say things that are better, that are, how can we make that fruit of our lips something that's better in the Lord's eyes? How is it that I can say those things that will be good and useful to those that hear it? And so he says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So as we continue to grow in God's word and as we continue to gain knowledge, that's something that will enable us to have that knowledge come forth in the things that we speak. And of course, when we do that, what effect does that have on the ones that hear those words? You know, that's something good, isn't it? It's something that can be encouraging to them. And he points that out in verse 24. He says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, wouldn't it be good if we're all considering the things that come out of our mouths and in terms of the knowledge that we're speaking and how we're presenting that. And we should all be thinking about how can I speak words that will encourage my brethren and strengthen my brethren? How can I teach my mouth to say the things that are good and useful to others, things that will be taken as sweet to the soul when they hear them, as it says there in verse 24. So we all need to, it doesn't come by accident, right? And that's why he makes that point there, that we need to teach our mouths, okay? We need to take some time to think about how do I speak in this situation or that situation, or how do I bring up this subject or that subject? And how is it that I can be better in terms of bringing up these subjects that have to do with what the Lord would want me to be speaking about? So we need to be growing in that area. Proverbs 25 and verse 11, he says there, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. So there are many times where we're in a situation where there is the right thing to say and maybe not so much the right thing to say, right? And we need to make sure and be working again on considering the words that we use and seeking to use words that are fitly spoken for the situation, that we've got the right discretion and that we've got the right understanding of the situation so that we can use words that are fitly spoken so that it will encourage and build in others. Let's turn to Proverbs 15. We'll read verses 1 through 7 here. Travis, can you get that for us?
A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so.
It's a lot of things crunched down into this one little passage, right? And again, there are many other places in Proverbs that have a lot of things to say about the things that come out of our mouths. But notice a few of the points here. In verse 1, he says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, we all end up in situations where there's maybe a disagreement on different things, right? And we really, really need to consider how we come across in those situations, right? He says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And, of course, to have a soft answer means we have to have control of our spirit, right? We've got to, you know, a lot of times somebody might say something, we can feel our blood pressure going up as it's being said, right? Or sometimes we might even feel our face getting flushed, you know, when we hear somebody saying something. And that's when we need to take pause and say, well, you know, the Lord says that a soft answer turns away wrath, and that grievous words stir up anger. And of course, we know that anger doesn't work the righteousness of God, right? We need to avoid stirring up anger. And so we need to consider the fruit of our lips, right? And we need to consider, you know, if we return an answer with grievous words, what kind of fruit is that going to bear? Well, it's going to stir up anger. Is that the kind of fruit that we want to bear? You know, that's not the kind of fruit that we need to bear. That's not the kind of fruit we want on our record, right? And we don't want to cause others to have that kind of fruit either. And so this is something we all have to work on, is having that soft answer that turns away wrath. And, you know, this happens amongst ourselves, with our brethren. Comes up a lot at work too, doesn't it? Right? There's a situation where maybe somebody says something that really just is completely inappropriate or gets you all worked up. And, you know, we need to see that as a test, don't we? We need to realize, well, all of these things are tests for us to see if we're going to respond in the right way. And we need to be working on that soft answer. Verse 2, he says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Okay, well, what kinds of things come out of our mouths, right? Or is it based on knowledge? Is it based on what we know from God's word? Or is it just, are we saying foolish things? Okay. And of course, we know that where we need to find that knowledge, that it comes from God's word and God's word only. And we need to be making sure that that's what we use as the basis of what we're speaking about. In verse 4, he says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And again, we need to consider the effect that we have on others when we speak, right? If we're providing words of knowledge in a soft and meek manner, remember, you know, when we're instructing others, we need to do so with meekness, don't we? And we need to do so in a way that will help them to receive what we're saying and not to just automatically put their shields up, right? And so if we're doing that and we've got right words coming off of our tongues, he says it's a tree of life. It's something that will cause others, if they hear those words, will cause them to go in the right way and do what is right in the Lord's eyes. And so we should be thinking about that impact that we have on others with our words. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, right? So we all need to be digging into the scriptures daily and gaining knowledge of the truth. And then we need to be dispersing that, don't we? We need to be speaking things that will help one another to grow in the Lord. And again, that makes us, like it says there in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. If we continue to disperse that knowledge that we have from the scriptures and encourage each other we will be like a tree of life, and we can all help each other in that way. Hebrews chapter 3 is another part of this. Brother Dave, can you read verses 12 through 14? So he starts out by warning us of what we need to be careful about as Christians, right? That there's influences, there's things every day that can cause us to start turning away, right? And to have a heart of unbelief, to not be, to lose our faith and to not be persuaded of the Lord's promises. And so he says, take heed, and as a remedy to that, or something that we can do to help one another, what does he say there in verse 13? He says, exhort one another daily. That word exhort there literally means to call near, right? So as disciples of Christ, we do need to be calling each other near, right? And how often does that need to be? He says, exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Do it today. So we need to be doing this for one another, that we are calling one another near. And of course, then we should be doing the things that we've been talking about as far as the tongue, right? And providing wholesome words and dispersing knowledge and encouraging one another. And that, in doing that, we can help one another to not depart in having that evil heart of unbelief. We need to be encouraging each other, like he says there in verse 14, that we've got to hold fast to our confidence and to the end, right? As Christians, it's not like some religions out there would say that, you know, once you're saved, you've got it, right? And you're always saved. Being a follower of Christ is something we've got to hold on to and not lose. And we all need to be encouraging each other to continue to fight that fight and to continue to overcome and to continue to grow in Christ day by day. And so this is a responsibility we all have for each other to do this. Proverbs 18. Look at one other thing here concerning the tongue, the fruit of our mouth, in verses 20 and 21. Brother Glenn, can you read that?
A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
All right, so notice again how important he talks about what comes forth out of our mouths. Verse 20, man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So he's talking about, again, what's coming out of our mouths. And verse 21, notice, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There's a lot of power in the tongue. We might remember James chapter 3, right? It's pretty hard to tame that tongue too, right? So we can go two different ways with our tongues, right? And it can get us into a lot of trouble. But on the other hand, as we're seeing here, there's a lot of good that we can be doing with the fruit of our lips. And we need to be thinking about that good, and that, you know, we don't want to be saying those things that are going to lead somebody to become frustrated and get them on the wrong path, but we want to be dispersing knowledge and saying those things that can encourage all of us to continue on that path and that leads to life. And so it is very important for us to consider our words. Like he says there at the end of verse 21, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So We will eat the fruit that's born by what we do, right? And so we need to consider our words, because we will be judged by the things that we say. Now, kind of a related area here, but a different area has to do with planting and reaping in the kingdom of God. John chapter 4, this is another type of fruit that the Lord mentions. John chapter 4, Brother Tom, can you read verses 34 to 38 for us, please?
34 through 38? Mm-hmm. And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not yet, ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that same true. One soweth, and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors.
So notice here he's talking about working in the spiritual fields. And in verse 35, notice what Jesus tells the disciples. He says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. So, and we know how Jesus sent forth those disciples to labor in those fields and to become fishers of men, right? And to speak the words of eternal life. So he describes it as a harvest here in verse 35. And then in verse 36 it says, He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal. So as we do this, it is a type of fruit, right? We're gathering fruit that is not going to have physical benefit, but this is something that has eternal benefit, both for the one that sows and the one that hears that word and is converted, right? So we need to consider the fruit then that we can bear in preaching the gospel and teaching the lost and encouraging them to see that way that leads to the Father and to begin to follow that way. So this is another type of fruit that we can bear, and we need to be considering the many opportunities that the Lord gives us to do that. There's no end to the opportunities that we have to do that. We need to be looking for that and considering what we can say. And again, there's obviously a tie-in with the fruit of our lips, right? If our lips are dispersing knowledge, as we saw earlier, well, that includes especially when we're talking to somebody that is not a part of the kingdom, right? We need to be especially considerate of our words there. I mean, it's not like we shouldn't be considerate at all times, but when we're speaking to somebody that is lost, what are the subjects that we bring up with them? Do we just talk about the weather or this or that? Or do we consider, well, you know, I have an opportunity here to speak words that will encourage them to think about eternal life, right? And that will encourage them to follow Christ. And we should be thinking about how we use our mouths in those situations and be teaching our mouths to say the things that are needed. Sometimes, some of us, that's not necessarily I know personally, it's difficult to, you know, initiate or know exactly what to say sometimes in a situation when you're talking to somebody that's not a part of the Lord's body. Where do you start? How do you get that conversation started? But, you know, it's something that we need to be teaching our mouths and training ourselves to do, because it is a type of fruit here. It's a type of fruit, he says, that benefits both us and the hearer. And so we need to be looking at that. Now, another part of that is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, Brother Ted, can you read verses 5 through 9 for us here? Verse 9. So as we do consider that harvest, and as we do consider the things that we can say to others to encourage them to come into the kingdom of Christ, sometimes we see that kind of go to people's heads, right? And they start to think, well, it's me here. And sometimes people sort of have the attitude, well, I need to take God's word and I need to present it in a way that they can understand, and I need to present it in modern terms, right? And that's something you hear where people will say, well, if you go look at the scriptures, they're kind of outdated, and what we're doing here is we're putting this in a way that they can accept, right? And we need to be very careful not to do that, right? We need to understand that it's God that gives the increase, and it's God's word that converts and turns, right? And God tells us that His word is not going to return unto Him void. We need to have our trust and our faith in Him and His word, and realize we're ministers, we're instruments here that can be used for much good, but we need to be careful not to become puffed up like we see so many today and even in the scriptures that get puffed up and thinking themselves something when they're not. And Paul himself makes that point here that he planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gave that increase. And verse 7, so neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. So we always need to give our credit to God and do what God has said in the way that He has said. But He reminds us there in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. And we do need to be laboring to bear this type of fruit, that we're encouraging others to consider the gospel, to obey the gospel, and to begin to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. We'll look at one more passage here, and we're about out of time, but we'll just go on for a minute. Philemon, let's turn to Philemon and read verses 4 through 7 here. Brother Frank, can you do that for us? So one of the other categories then of bearing fruit has to do with edifying or building up the body of Christ. And we see here that Philemon is a good example of that. And as the Apostle Paul is writing him here. He says, to begin with, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. What is he making mention of? What's prompting him to make mention of Philemon? Well, he says what's making him think of that. He says, hearing, in verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all his saints. And verse 7, he says, we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So Philemon was one here who was working with his brethren, and he was working to strengthen his brethren. He was using his faith in Christ to consider, as we've been talking about earlier today, how we need to exhort one another daily, how we need to help one another. Well, here was Philemon that was fulfilling that role, and it says that the bowels of the saints are refreshed by Philemon. So this was something that helped those particular brethren, but it also was an encouragement to the rest of the church when they saw Philemon doing these works to help his brethren. And of course, it's encouraging for all of us, isn't it, when we see someone that is exhorting and helping the brethren. It's contagious, isn't it? It's something, when we see it, it encourages us, and it helps prompt us to say, well, what can I do to help as well? And so we all need to be working effectually, energetically together as members of the body, working to build each other up. And we need to think about what we can do. We need to, like he tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, we need to consider one another to provoke the love and good works. And so let's be considering then how we can bear fruit in these different ways. Appreciate everybody's attention and comments this morning. Any other questions or comments before we close? If not, we'll ask Brother Peter, if you would, to lead us in prayer.
Father, thanks for waking us up this morning and bringing us here safely. We pray for all those who might still be traveling. Continue to pray that we might dig into your word every day.